Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We continue looking at a conference message that was given by Dallin H. Oaks, a member of the First Presidency, titled Trust in the Lord. And I need to recap this because the whole gist of this talk has to deal with the fact that the Mormon leadership really do not have a lot of detailed answers for many of the perplexing questions that some of its members have. He starts off by talking about a letter he received from a woman who was wondering about what her position was going to be in the next life based on the fact that she's married to a man who is sealed for eternity to another woman. And of course, in the context of Mormonism, that would mean that this man would have both wives in the next life. She's wondering, what's my position going to be? Am I going to have my own house, or am I going to have to live with this second wife along with her husband? Basically, what Dallin Oaks tells her is, trust in the Lord. In other words, he doesn't answer the question. And what I get from this talk, Eric, though he throws in a lot of other minutiae into this talk, the basic premise is there's a lot of things that the Mormon leadership do not know when it comes to what life is going to be like in the next life. And that's what I get out of this. He quotes, for instance, Brent L. Topp from Brigham Young University. When we ask ourselves what we know about the spirit world from the standard works, the answer is not as much as we often think. But yet many Latter-day Saints will tell us that the reason why Mormonism is far superior to what we have is because they have Latter-day prophets who give them answers to a lot of these perplexing questions. But yet, something as simple as this, Dallin Oaks seems to be wanting. All he can say is, trust in the Lord, which of course means just put it aside, or as Mormons often will say, put it on your shelf. Well, unfortunately, folks, many ex-Mormons have said that they put so much on that proverbial shelf that at some point in their life, that shelf broke and they end up losing all faith in Joseph Smith and in the restored gospel. Oaks goes on to talk about the resurrection. And he says that resurrection for all in the spirit world is assured by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, though it occurs at different times for different groups. But what he doesn't seem to explain here is how Jesus in John 5:28 makes it very clear that there are two resurrections, one to eternal life and another one to eternal damnation, condemnation, or judgment. Certainly, the faithful Latter-day Saint hopes that they're not in that latter category. But the point that he's trying to make here is that the gospel is preached to the ignorant, the unrepentant, and the rebellious so they can be freed from their bondage and go forward to the blessings a loving Heavenly Father has in store for them. But as we brought out yesterday, Eric, those who have heard about the restored gospel in this mortality and did not embrace it, did not follow its precepts, did not live up to its standards, the best they can only hope for in eternity would be the terrestrial kingdom, not the celestial kingdom. So when he talks about being freed from the bondage and go forward to the blessings a loving Heavenly Father has in store for them, the blessings in that context would be at best the terrestrial kingdom. But in this case, this loving Heavenly Father, according to Mormonism, isn't even going to pay attention to those individuals for the rest of eternity because they will never be in His presence, according to Mormonism. I think this is where the doctrine of assuming that we are all God's children can be very misleading, because I remember having a conversation with a Latter-day Saint who told me that God would never judge any of His children. He would never send any of His children to quote-unquote hell because He loves us all. And I had to remind him that according to Mormonism, we're all God's children, including the devil and his angels, according to Mormonism. So, yes, the God of Mormonism will most assuredly send his children to hell, or outer darkness, as it's understood in the context of Mormonism. But he goes on to talk about trusting the teachings of leaders and how even sometimes you can't be sure what you're hearing from the leadership is even believable.
It says on the bottom of the middle column of page 27, he says, there is abundant speculation by members and others and published sources like books on near-death experiences. And he's criticizing those who are speculating about what happens after death and what precedes the final judgment, saying that many members of the church have had visions or other inspirations to inform them about how things operate or are organized in the spirit world. Then he's going to go and quote two fellow apostles, and this is what he says on the right side of page 27. He says, the wise cautions of Elder D. Todd Christofferson and Neil L. Anderson in earlier General Conference messages are important to remember. Elder Christofferson taught, quote, it should be remembered that not every statement made by a church leader, past or present, necessarily constitutes doctrine. It is commonly understood in the church that a statement made by one leader on a single occasion often represents a personal, though well-considered opinion, not meant to be official or binding for the whole church, end quote.
What I find troubling with this is many of these statements that many Latter-day Saints believe were made by the leadership in a setting that they should believe them, such as a conference message. We've often cited Dieter F. Uchtdorf, who said that members should pay attention to what's being said in conference because this is God speaking through his servants. And a lot of the controversial teachings of Mormonism came through General Conference. So, okay, I understand that even though it might be a mere personal or well-considered opinion and may not be official in that kind of capacity, it was certainly believed by these leaders when they taught them. So I think a fair question to ask whenever a Mormon says, well, that was just his personal opinion, I like to ask, well, was he speaking irresponsibly? Because it would seem to me that if he was speaking irresponsibly, he is to some point deluded in thinking that this irresponsible comment should be believed.
And aren't these men supposed to be believed? When I'm listening to these guys at General Conference, and I'm a Latter-day Saint, I should be able to receive what they have to say. When somebody goes and says something that's not what the official doctrine is, shouldn't they be reprimanded? Shouldn't that be made a public incident, that this is not what we believe, this is not what the church says, this is speculation? If we're going to say that Dallin H. Oaks knows what he's talking about, how do we know he's not speaking irresponsibly by saying what he just says in this entire speech? I just don't see the consistency here, and I think it's very dangerous for him to say that often, he uses the word often, represents a personal, though well-considered opinion. If it's just an opinion, why is that general authority even giving it?
But do you see also the complications here for the average member of the LDS Church when Christofferson teaches it should be remembered that not every statement made by a church leader, past or present, necessarily constitutes doctrine? Now that means that the individual Latter-day Saint has to come up with, well, what is and what isn't? I mean, the LDS people are bombarded with information from their church on a daily basis. They get an information overload when they go to General Conference twice a year, and they have to sift through all this stuff. There needs to be a guideline for them to make it easier in order to understand what the Latter-day Saint should believe and what they shouldn't believe. And I would argue, well, that guideline has kind of been given in the church in the past. They're told that if something is found on an official website by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, that that includes trustworthy material. They've been told, as I just mentioned with Dieter F. Uchtdorf, that when the leader speaks in General Conference, that's God speaking through the leadership. They're told that the manuals they receive are vetted by the leadership of the church, the first presidency, I should say. And that can be trusted. And of course, they have the standard works, should be trusted. There's your guidelines. But yet, I think a lot of the statements that are confusing people are found within those parameters. And yet, what is Dallin Oaks going to say? Well, just trust in the Lord.
What he goes on to say is also troubling to me. On page 28, he says, in the following conference, Elder Anderson, Neil Anderson, taught this principle, quote, the doctrine is taught by all 15 members of the First Presidency and the Quorum of the Twelve. It is not hidden in an obscure paragraph of one talk, end quote. The family proclamation signed by all 15 prophets, seers, and revelators is a wonderful illustration of that principle. Bill, that came in 1995. That's been a long time ago. That's the last time I can remember anything being signed by all 15. You mean it takes that for me to know that I can trust that statement or that doctrine? And yet I don't get that in General Conference. I don't know if all the others are agreeing with it. How do I know this obscure paragraph said in General Conference might just be mere speculation rather than doctrine that that person is teaching it to be?
And when Dallin Oaks cites Elder Christofferson saying that not every statement, past or present, necessarily constitutes doctrine, was that signed by all 15 people?
Yeah.
In the leadership of the church? Now, a Latter-day Saint might just assume they're all in agreement because, as I understand, even conference messages are somewhat, to a certain extent at least, vetted by the leadership of the church. Well, if that's true, then again, I go back to my earlier premise. Doesn't that seem to only confirm a lot of the questions that members have, because some of the details that they seem to believe came forth from leaders who spoke in General Conference?
I know we don't have time to completely talk about this issue. Perhaps we can continue the discussion tomorrow. But haven't leaders in the past disagreed with each other on very important doctrines? And I would say absolutely. There are a number of cases we can take a look at where they didn't all agree.
There certainly have been, and I think tomorrow what we'll do is we'll look at a book that was written dealing with that very subject. I think a lot of Latter-day Saints are misled in assuming that somehow God speaks to their leaders in such a way that they are always in agreement when it comes to teachings that Latter-day Saints are supposed to believe. That certainly is not the case. And I guess it goes back to my earlier premise as well, Eric, that while Mormons might look at Christianity as being a spiritual free-for-all where a lot of Christians don't tend to agree with each other, if you're going to be honest, Latter-day Saint, you're going to have to admit that this same dilemma is also found in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. These men do not just sit down around a conference table and agree on every single thing that you, as a Latter-day Saint, are supposed to believe.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. When sharing your faith with a Latter-day Saint, it helps to know what their church has taught on several basic topics. For this reason, Mormonism Research Ministry has provided its Crash Course Mormonism. Crash Course Mormonism includes concise articles highlighting what LDS leaders and church manuals have taught on issues that will probably come up in a typical conversation. You can find these informative articles at CrashCourseMormonism.com. That's CrashCourseMormonism.com.